Hello, Devlin here with you, and welcome to Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show. I want to thank you for coming. I'm a little not prepared right now because I have a co-host, and I always get excited when I get a co-host because I don't have to hold down the conversation all the time. He is not new to this show. He's been on it a couple times. In fact, I was doing the math. I figure the first time he came on, we were friends. The second time we came on, we were family. Now we're friends, family, and we now have a project that we work on that is celebrating a year, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have him on. Not that I need a reason to have him on, but it's just been such a success, and I wanted to have him on to talk about it. But honestly, I could have him on talking about just about anything, because we talk about just about anything in real life. So anyhow, without further ado, I don't have to compliment him anymore, because I do that too much. My co-host tonight, Damien Troutman.
Hello!
Thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me for the third and final and best time. Usually it comes
Why
in
is it the final?
Oh, I mean, you got Star Wars Episode 4, 5, and 6. That was a perfect trilogy. And you had Episode 1, 2, and 3. Another perfect trilogy. So I think this would be a good trilogy. However, if we're going to go the route, at least let's not make the next two like The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Because if that's The Last Jedi that's coming up, then it's going to be a disaster.
Well, I hope you'd come on again.
Of course I'd come on.
I know.
The Force Awakens was good, so at least we'll have one good
episode. It was. You're already into the movie reviews. We're not even reviewing movies today, but this is the movie section.
Yeah, you talked about movies, and I just went right to movie mode.
You went right to, like, Last Jedi? Out of all the great movies you've seen in this world, you went right to that?
Well, the thing about human nature is you attach yourself to the negatives more often than the positives, and, yeah, just The Last Jedi was pretty negative.
Well, before we get into dissing other movies and stuff like that, which I'm sure we'll get to, I did want to talk about the fact that we are celebrating an anniversary. This is a year since we started the Damien and Devlin Show. And for those of you, shame on you, who have not seen it yet, because
yeah,
I promote it.
How dare you?
I promote it with everything I have. And basically, it was your idea.
Yes.
Right. I actually took a brief break from the podcast, and while I was taking that break, you came to me and said, would you like to do
movie
reviews? So tell me when did the idea pop into your head and why?
So the idea actually started when you first invited me onto the podcast, and I remember making a comment on that episode saying, you know, I'd actually like to do something like this myself. It kind of just stayed in the back of my mind for a long time. Eventually, we started watching a lot of movies together, and you kept talking about how you watched a channel on YouTube where they talk about movies and they just review movies. So again, that kind of started to fuse with my previous comments about wanting to actually like do something like your podcast with you. And it came about the time, I can't remember what movie it is, but we were watching a movie one night, and then you immediately like turned to me and we had a discussion about it after we saw the movie and talking about our different opinions. And I went home that day, and the thought popped into my mind, you know what, I could do something with you, we could do something similar to what you enjoy watching on YouTube, and we can have great discussions about it, all in one. That's when I came up to you and I specifically said, I have a golden idea.
Yes.
And that's where it was born.
And I remember, and it didn't take me long. When you first suggested it, I was actually shocked by it. And I didn't have an answer for you, but literally I had an answer before the end of the day because I love the idea, because I love talking. And I was really sold on the fact that you and I come from different eras. I love that because so many on YouTube, you can go to so many different people reviewing movies. But the thing I always got was that, like, if you have three people reviewing a movie, they were usually all people of the same age, same backgrounds,
yep,
the same love of everything.
Yep.
Now, we love a lot of things the same, but we also have different takes. So we might love movies, but we might love them for different reasons or don't agree at all.
Or you might just have bad taste, and I'm the only one with good taste.
And
I get it.
What kept going into my head was that we are two different generations. And I said, this is the selling point on it. I'm from the, you know, before the internet. You were, you know,
hey,
you
me,
saw the beginning of the
internet. Give me
internet.
Some credit. I was before the internet.
Barely. Yeah, that doesn't
1991.
Count. Yeah.
I was the last generation that went outside and played.
Yeah.
Give me some credit. But yes, we're the first generation that was introduced and grew up with technology. So it's very normal and natural to us. We still had that period where we didn't have the technology, but yeah, nothing akin to you guys. I know you're from the 60s, spoilers, but you guys had like TV, if anything, the radio.
Yeah, that was our...
The radio, so that was your technology, right? Yeah. You didn't have computers or anything like that, so I get it.
Yeah, but you, honestly, just because you're young is not the reason I said yes to this. I know you also have a passion for movies.
Yeah.
And I also believe that the reason you wanted to do this is to open your mind to new movies. If you didn't love movies, like from an older era, you wanted to at least experience them so you could say. And that's one thing I was impressed. And you were passionate about
that. One thing I'm actually impressed with myself with this journey is that if you remember... before we started this, I had a firm, strict rule, and I said I will not watch any movies prior to 1970. I said they're too old.
And we haven't done that many, but some on your own, too.
Yeah, so now I've actually opened my mind a little bit, and I'm checking these things out. I mean, The Wizard of Oz is definitely the oldest movie we've seen, with 1938.
Yes, I believe that is.
So that's the oldest one we've seen. I've seen it before, but I wouldn't have actually sought it out. But since this has begun... I've gone and seen movies like The African Queen, which is like a 1951 movie, things like that. So I'm opening my mind. I also wanted to see certain movies with you that I never would sought out on my own, such as The Room with my good old pal Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, I've given you movies. Because I think of, when I pick movies for you, I think of ones, I want to see Damien's reaction to that.
Yeah.
Trust me, I have a whole bunch that I'm like, he's not ready to deal with that yet. Though I would love to watch his reaction, but I'm not as frightened. But I genuinely, when we first started, one of the earliest movies I picked was Enter the Dragon.
Yes.
And I picked that one because I didn't know what your thoughts on old martial arts films were. I think you knew who Bruce Lee was, but I didn't know if you knew any of his movies. So I thought, let's just go for the biggest, most obvious movie that he's ever done. And it was a very fun night watching it. You know, I remember we had a lot of laughs. You were like, what are we looking at? And I love when you have that reaction, when you're like, I have no clue.
Yeah, no, I've enjoyed the experience overall. And especially with this being in July, our Fan Appreciation Month, the fact that there are movies that maybe even you haven't seen, and both of us haven't seen, like the one we did about Funny Games. That was a fantastic movie, to the point where I actually want to go and buy it. And I would have never watched that movie if our fans hadn't suggested it either. So this whole experience, this whole project that we have, is just fulfilling in every sense of the word. Because it not only that, I get to see good movies, I get to do them with my best friend, but I also have that creative outlet as well, where I put the videos together.
We should give you a heads up. You do all that, and you do an amazing job with it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, it's just like a creative outlet for me. I put the videos together using Sony Vegas, for those of you interested. It's Sony Vegas Pro. And then I also edit the images as well with Photoshop. So it definitely has put a creative spark in me. And I'm learning new techniques as I go along. Just recently put together our Top Gun image. So
nice. Ooh, yeah. Revealing it. That's okay. This airs after.
I paused for a minute. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, I was doing the math, and I go, no, you didn't reveal anything. Yeah. This comes out on Thursdays. We come on Tuesdays.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all good, though. So for people who don't know, you got it now.
Go check out Top Gun on the Damien and Devlin Show.
Now, has the experience been more rewarding than you thought, or is it exactly what you imagined it was going to be?
It's actually more rewarding than I thought it was going to be. Similar to you, when we first started this, we had like 7 subscribers, and they were all people that we knew.
Yeah.
And I was happy with that, because you and I both agreed, even if nobody watches it, we enjoy doing this, and that's all that really matters. And since then, in a year's time, this may not seem like big numbers, but it's big numbers to me.
To us.
I can only imagine what it's going to look like a year from now. We have 63 subscribers at the time of this recording. By the time we get released, we might even have more.
Yeah.
So the fact that there are people out there that I've not personally met from all across the world.
That's always exciting.
Subscribing and actually watching our videos. We even had that moment where I made the post on Facebook saying that a pretty popular YouTuber subscribed to us and said that she enjoyed our review. That's very fulfilling to me.
Well, what I've noticed is, like, even though they are people we know, and we do have some that we don't really know, too, like, I know people watch us. I just bumped into somebody who's been on our podcast before, Justine Dennis, and she told me that she looks forward to our reviews, because she says, "Oh, that's my Damien and Devlin night. I love watching what you guys do." Awesome. And it might not be a movie I've seen or anything, but I always love it. And then, you know, we have lots of different people that have, like, just tell me they really like the dynamic between us. Like you said, you've even had people that you work with telling you should be nicer to me on certain reviews. Now, Wizard of Oz, probably.
Just so everybody knows listening, I do play a little bit of a character Damien the Devil.
Very little bit of a character.
I'm not actually that mean all the time, I promise. But no, people have been telling me to be nicer. They're telling me to open my mind up a little bit. The biggest backlash I got, honestly, was it's always the opposite of what you think it's going to be. You always think when you get on a pedestal, basically, and say, oh, this movie's garbage, you think people are going to...
Well, Matrix.
Yeah,
I thought
Matrix.
People were going to backlash.
But when I brought that up with people saying that you didn't like The Matrix, you'd be surprised that people actually took your side with it. And I'm the outcast. Same with Wizard of Oz.
Titanic, like, I got some people saying, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Yeah,
it's a little overrated.
You're usually the one that people flock to, and I'm the guy that has the stand against the crowd attitude.
Yeah, but... I don't know why that is. I can't say why, because I actually love watching you talk about certain things. Because sometimes you say some things that I'm just, like, blown away that, oh, this is a great point. And I've even called it out in the actual reviews. This is an amazing point. Then there are other times where we've had, like, differences where I just, like, have to shake my head. But I think those are the ones that people remember. When we're just giving thumbs up to, like, a movie we both love, but we're going to show it anyhow.
I find those ones have less views than the ones where we go at each other.
Possibly, yeah, true.
They do.
Yeah.
But with regards to it, when I log into our account on YouTube, I can see how many views we have in total, as well as, like, how many minutes people have been watching. And it usually gives it on a past 28 days basis. And every time I log in, consistently, again, this may not seem like big numbers because we only have 63 subscribers for any, like, bigger YouTubers listening out there right now, but consistently it's 1,000 minutes watched on average for the past 28 days. That's 1,000 minutes of people's
nice.
Time.
Yeah.
That's mind-boggling to me, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, we accept every victory we have, because we did not picture no 63 subscribers.
No.
And some people might be like, I've got tons and all I do is, you know. But you know what? For us, it's monumental. And I can't wait to see how it grows. What I also love is how impressive our library is starting to look. Like, when you go into YouTube, I remember when we only had, like, about 15. And now you go and you start seeing, like, horror and musicals and action and war movies. And then, what? They did that?
Yeah.
And they haven't done some big movies? I love that our library is growing. And I can't wait in the coming years just to see how much we can do.
Absolutely.
And stuff.
Absolutely. No, I am very, very impressed with the dynamic, as well as the differences in the movie genres and just the fan support overall.
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey, and I thank you for coming up with the idea. And I'm actually, do you find yourself, like, I think you told me you try to watch movies differently sometimes?
Sometimes I try to watch them as a reviewer, and I can't help it now, but at the end of every movie, as soon as the credits hit, I have a number in my mind of what I've given it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I was actually thinking the other day I'd like to go through all my movies that I watched and actually give them numbers. So I actually,
I don't think
until
I
rewatch that.
I don't think I'm going to do that. But no, we just recently watched Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. And as soon as those credits hit, I was like, oh yeah, that's a 3.5.
Very cool.
Just constantly do that all the time.
Now, I don't know if you, I've not told you this yet, and I haven't told too many people, but I wanted to tell you that I'm doing this, is because of you. I have talked a lot that I've been making some big changes in my life in the last month and a half, and they're going pretty well so far, but I'm adding to that something that has to do with this and just in general, my love of movies. This has gotten me back to my love of movies so much that I'm actually going to start making a list, or if not a list, like physical, of movies I believe I need to see to be taken serious as a serious movie reviewer now.
Okay.
And, like, literally, when I go, like, I don't just go now when I'm looking for movies. I'm just like, oh, that's a fun, cool little, you know, silly little movie. I'll still watch those cult movies, but now I'm actually going to try to focus and maybe try to watch one or two a week. Movies that I think that I need to see. And, like, so, like, today I was out at Value Village picking up some movies. And I picked up two movies that I feel I can't believe I haven't seen them yet, and I need to see them as reviewers. So I picked up The Color Purple for Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
And Do the Right Thing, which is a Spike Lee movie, which is like one of the most critically acclaimed movies of all time. So I'm going to start making a list and start collecting those movies and trying to see it, because there's a lot of big movies that I'm like, I got to really get down to seeing. I'm embarrassed to say I've not seen Braveheart yet, or Lawrence of Arabia. And so I'm going to do a lot of, I've been watching a lot of documentaries and stuff, so I'm going to make a quintessential list of movies I feel I need to see. Now, I've seen a lot of movies, but I can't throw away my schlocky movies, and I'm still going to show you those,
too.
There
you are with those funny words.
Schlocky.
Now we got a new one, schlocky.
Schlocky is not a weird word.
Yeah,
that just means
new.
I'm teaching you all this stuff. You got to learn all. Cherub.
Make sure you're
shyster.
Using it in the right connotation. All right?
Ingenue can be used for men.
Mr. Spielberg is not an ingenue.
He can be. It has been used for men,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure it has.
So is there any movies that you still are anxious to show me besides The Matrix?
Yeah, I definitely want to show you the rest of the Matrix movies.
God help us all.
I really do want to show you a movie that I couldn't even sit through, and that was that Rise Bloodhunter movie.
Yeah, why do you want to show me movies you can't get through?
Because I want to see if you can get through them and if you like them, because I hated them.
What if I love them?
Then I'm just going to have a bad time, I guess.
Now, pretty much the movies you've shown me, most of them I've liked.
Most of them.
Most. I can't think of one except for The Matrix, but you knew I was going in
hating
not sure if I liked that one, yeah. But was there a movie you showed me that you were shocked by my surprise or my reaction?
Not really.
No,
not. Not off the top of my head, no. I knew that you were going to flip out at The Matrix. I knew you had problems with Titanic.
Were you surprised that I didn't overly hate on Titanic? Like, I actually...
No, I thought you did overly hate on it, but actually, I will bring up something now that we're
talking.
Because
I believe I gave it, like, a 2.5. Did I give it a 2.5?
You gave it a ridiculous number.
No, but I gave it, like, a halfway mark.
You gave it a ridiculous number.
Maybe I did drop it to 2. What were you going to bring up? Something.
You actually did surprise me in our very first review when we did Aliens, and you started bad-mouthing the Colonial Marines. What?
That shocked you?
That was a genuine response, because I did not expect that whatsoever. Because they're my heroes, and I love them so much. And then you just said, yeah, they're too
But, you know, we had watched Alien, which is, I prefer Alien over
Aliens.
And we watched Alien probably a couple months before we even decided to do this project.
Yeah.
And when I saw Aliens, I just saw some issues more into it.
Yeah,
but I still liked it.
That's one that came off the top of my head that surprised me. However, one other thing that comes to mind, and it's not a surprise, it's more of an eye-opener, is the point you made about the girl character in The Notebook not writing...
Yeah, you were mind-blown with that.
Ryan Gosling's character. Not only me, but I had people coming up to me at work going like, Devlin made such a good point.
And you know what? I did not think of that. I've seen that movie probably 2-3 times, but for some reason it came to me while I was watching it that time with you. And I just said, yeah... This is a big issue I just came across.
So that's another thing I really like about it, is the fact that we do come at the movie with two different points of views, but we also see them differently sometimes, and you open my eyes to certain things. And now I can look at that movie and shake my head even more at the fact that she didn't do what she should have done.
Well, you've made some good points where I've kind of like, Well, yeah, I have to give him that one, even though I don't agree with it. But, yeah, I can agree why he would or other people would have problems with that kind of thing. So, well, I can't wait to see what kind of movies, you know, we don't want to give away anything. But I've still got a ton of movies I want to show you. That's my problem, because I've seen so many, probably more movies than you in a lot of ways.
I would assume you have.
And there's just so many I want to share with you. That it's constantly just trying to find, like, when am I going to do it? You know, ones I think you want to see, others I know you don't want to see, but I'm going to make you sit through. Anyhow, I know I have one in August that you're like, I don't want to see it, and we won't say what it is.
Yeah, I was just going to ask which one is that, but we'll talk after.
Yeah. and I know you've told me I don't want to see it, but it wasn't – see, what I like about you is you tell me movies that you don't want to see, but you've also told me – movies that, like The Wizard of Oz, you said, I know I don't like it, but I will watch that one.
Yeah.
Because you knew it's a big movie, it's cultural, and I like that you're at least open-minded to that, to give it another shot and
check it out. Oh, yeah, I'm a reviewer. I have to. I can't just do the strict my movies and that's it.
And one thing I do like about you is I like that you're very... I think you've touched me in the some of our reviews, like when you did Rocky Horror. You know, you were very good about, you know, you were honest about how this movie it's not for me. It doesn't really translate to me. But then you made a beautiful thing at the end about how you understand how important this movie is to other people.
Yeah.
And you even made a comment that almost, I can't remember if I cried. I know I've only blurred up a couple times on our thing, not like my podcast where I'm always crying, it seems. But you made a comment about how you were kind of afraid that if I didn't see that movie at the time that I did, we might not have got the man that I am. And that was so touching to me. And that was a case of, okay, I know he doesn't get it, and I get that. And, do you remember what I said to you after we stopped filming, though?
Something sentimental.
But you don't remember
no,
what I said?
No, not specifically.
That's horrible. I if I was nice, I would tell him what I said right now. But, yeah, I did say I thought it was sentimental. You probably didn't think it was sentimental, but I hope one day... Well, if you didn't remember it now, you won't remember it in the future, so anyhow.
Just having a lapse of memory. No, but... Going back to your point.
I told you would get camp. If you were my son.
Oh, that's right, yes.
I would have shown you all these movies and you would have got cult and camp. Because that's the one part that is the part that, and I think it works as reviewers because you don't get that. And you don't get cheese or camp. And I just revel in it. I'm rolling on the floor, loving it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It doesn't. It's stupid. But going back to it, I can see how movies can be important to different kinds of people. For example, Rocky Horror, of course, go check that one out, see what I say about it. But then another one that comes to mind is Black Panther. I absolutely hated that movie, but I can see why
Is it hate?
Oh, yeah, I hated that movie. I think it's the worst Marvel movie ever.
I don't love it. I think it's actually fairly mediocre.
But I can see how important it is for the black community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the fact that it was a primarily black cast, there were only like two white people in it, and it not only reveled in, but encouraged the culture of African nations. And I can see why that's important.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing I think really was done well in Black Panther. And that when you're talking about, or when I'm talking about my negatives of that movie, I do not bring that up at all, because I think that's one of the main positives of it. But the fact that other reasons that I won't go into, because we probably will review that one at some point. But yeah, I can see where people really, really appreciate
it. Yeah, and you, a lot of times you didn't agree with everything, but you did say, this is a must, though, to see. Like when you saw Jaws, you said it was overrated, but you understand that people should see this, especially
absolutely.
If you're going to be a movie reviewer.
Yep.
This is one that should be on your list of have to see.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, they have that top 100 American Film Institute.
That's one of the things I'm going to look at and check. But I also want to consider cult movies that I need to see and other things that changed movies.
Films as well, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to show you a lot of.
You can't just focus your movies on strictly Hollywood.
We've done a lot of Hollywood, but I've been trying to sneak some things in there. Although I am very nervous about showing you personal films.
Personal films? I don't like want to see your homemade sex tapes.
Not that. Jeez. Showing you movies that really are special to my heart.
Oh, okay.
Because we've had some issues where I've almost broke down and cried.
Well,
we've actually
seen some pretty good independent films. What do you call it? Funny Games comes to mind.
Yeah, yeah.
There was that one with Daniel Radcliffe that we watched where he was undercover.
Yeah, we watched that. We didn't review it, but
undercover
we did.
As
yeah,
a neo-Nazi.
Good.
Yeah, like...
Oh, there's
amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot
films.
Of great ones that I want to show and you, or just smaller films.
That's
not
another
even
reason that I really enjoy this project is because I had never really watched independent films before. This was my mindset before we got into it. Independent films are made by hippies, and I don't respect them. Now that I'm in this, my mind has changed to being, oh, independent films are actually really well done. Boyhood, another independent film. So yeah. There are wonderful movies that are made out there. I just had to grow and mature and open my mind a bit.
Now, is there any movies that you'd love to show me, but you're kind of holding back because you really don't know what I would do with it?
No.
No.
No, I think every movie that I've seen, you've seen to a point.
Yeah, you haven't really... Usually when you come up with one I want to see, or you pick movies that you've always wanted to see.
Yes.
Where I will pick a movie that I know and will show you.
The problem is that I don't know whether you've seen it or not, because you have seen so many movies. So when I think of something, oh, that'd be great, I don't know whether or not you've seen it. So nothing really comes to my mind.
Well, you showed me your top 50. I should actually look at it, and we should pick one from there sometime. Because
oh,
I think there was a couple I did not see.
There are definitely going to be movies there. From there that we're going to review.
Yeah, and every once in a while, I'm going to choose a movie that I haven't seen in a long time.
Actually, yeah, number 50 on my list is an anime movie from my favorite anime. The anime is called Inuyasha, and it is in English. I have the English version, and yeah. I want to see how you react to that.
Well, you started showing me Attack on Titans?
Attack on Titan.
And we have only watched a couple, but beside that one time I scared you because I screamed at the top of my lungs. Not because I was scared, I was doing my anime over-the-top emotional reaction.
Yeah, over-the-top anime.
I and Damien almost jumped and hit the ceiling.
Because it was a quiet moment and nobody was really talking. And
but I told you, one of my problems with anime is how quickly they go from zero to God in their emotional range. And so...
That's just what anime is, though. Anime is interesting in its own way. But,
yeah, but certainly show me some.
I'd be curious to see what you say about that movie, because it is in my top 50.
Yeah, well, definitely. And so now all you have to do is keep watching us on the Damien and Devlin Show. Are you happy we're into podcasts now?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's kind of two birds, one stone, because... I said I was interested in doing something like this back time you had me on this, and now basically we turn our Damien and Devlin Show episodes into podcasts, which, like I said, two birds, one stone, so it's pretty awesome.
It is. It's hard to keep it contained, because there's some movies we watch. I think Funny Games, we could have probably talked and talked and talked and talked, but we always try to get it with at least under a half hour.
Yeah, we try. Sometimes we go a little bit over, but... You know, the movies that we go over half an hour talking, you can tell we have
a lot. I think Boyhood was the only one we...
34 minutes. There have been a couple 30-minute ones or 29 minutes, but close to it. But there's a lot to talk about in movies, and sometimes we just really love the movie that we want to keep talking about it.
Now, do you have things for the future that you see for this show? Because right now we're kind of...
Merchandise.
I started us with that. We both have our own shirts.
Eventually, we're going to get merchandise.
That's where you make your money, really, now.
There's going to be t-shirts. There's going to be lunch boxes, backpacks. You're going to have your own 3D glasses like they designed the special ones at the theater. Or you could have Iron Man's face. They're going to have Damien and Devlin 3D glass faces.
And you know, one of my dreams for this is to actually have movie presentation nights where we actually watch a movie with a theater and talk about it with people.
I think that'd be nice.
In the end, because there's a lot of people that watch us that kind of secretly say, I would love to watch a movie with you. And we've had a couple of our friends get to watch movies with us when we review it. But nobody's here when we review.
Yeah,
but
we'd rent out a theater, kind of like the Zoetic here in Hamilton, And just show a movie. Afterwards, we go up on stage.
Boy, that's high hopes, as a wedding. 300 seats.
Yeah.
We might as well dream big and stuff like
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. The sky's the limit.
You know what? We did this for fun, and I think even if nobody watched, we'd still be doing it for fun, because it's nice to know we still have all these there. But the fact that we're actually seeing people enjoy this, I think, has added so much to it.
Absolutely.
And so, anyhow, we're going to take a break. And don't forget, you can always catch our new reviews. We are, every Tuesday, we drop it. We try to get it up as soon as possible, usually afternoon. And then now our podcasts for that one you can get on the Fridays. And you can catch us. Those are free, downloadable, I should say, too. So you don't have to pay bucks for it. Right,
for now. No, they'll probably always be free.
But when we get into merchandising, that's something totally different. But anyhow, we're going to take a very short break, a little intermission, and then we're going to talk about some other stuff here with my co-host, Damien.
Is now the time is here. Now's the time for a bite of cheer. A tasty light where the price is right. Well, look at here, you'll dig this sight. The moment's handy for a piece of candy. Just name your brand, they're all so grand. Hey, what do you think of an ice cool drink? Or a big box filled with a popcorn thrill? Let your taste buds meet with an ice cream treat. Refresh yourselves, it's time to eat. So come on, folks, let's join the band as we all head for the refreshment stand.
Devlin back with you here on the Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show, and I'm here with my co-host, Damien Troutman. Always an honor to have you here. I don't just say you're family, you are family to me. I wanted to talk a little about the word World Cup, FIFA. I believe that's right. Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah, FIFA World Cup.
Now, it's all done now.
By the time this is aired,
right.
Yeah.
We should make a statement. We do not know who won.
Yeah, so right now the final is tomorrow.
Okay.
But we do know who third and fourth place are.
Okay, so who are they?
Third place is Belgium. They beat England today 2-0. So England came fourth place, Belgium is third. Yeah. Tomorrow the final is between Croatia, who've never won a World Cup. As far as I'm aware, this is the first time they've made it to the final. And then France, who's won it once back in 1998.
Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about it, even though by the time this airs, it'll be all done, all the flags will be put away, everything like that.
Oh, except
for the winner. They'll get to go for the rest of the year, right? But you are a big fan of it, and I really didn't, like, I knew of the World Cup before I knew you, but you actually take it really serious, and I can't remember who you vote for, yeah, right? Since I'm driving in your car and it's all, like, loaded up.
Unfortunately, didn't last that long this year. Quite a disappointing performance, but the team I root for is Germany. I do actually have three teams that I would root for, but only Germany ever makes it. And Germany is my favorite. But I would also root for Scotland. They have made it in the past, but that's because my other half is Scottish. As well as I would also root for Canada. And Canada is an absolutely trash team, so that they never make it. But in 2026, Canada, Mexico, and the United States are co-hosting the World Cup. So Canada, by default, qualifies. So we'll actually get to see Canadians in the World Cup in 8 years.
Now, this is every year, right?
Every four years.
Is it every 4 years?
Yep.
That's it?
Yep, every 4 years.
I thought it was every year. Why do I think it's every year?
That's why it's so big, is because it only comes once every 4 years.
See, I'm learning stuff already. For some reason, it always seems every year there's craziness about soccer and stuff.
Every 2 years, we get a big competition. So right now, in 2018, we have the World Cup. In 2020, we'll have the Euro Cup. So every 2 years, it alternates between the Euro and the World Cup. Those are really the two major competitions that people seem to care about. Nobody cares about over here in, like, the North America Cup or the Canadian Championship, anything like that. But, so maybe that's why you're thinking that.
Could be. I actually kind of like the World Cup. I like when people are like, you know, it seems like friendly. I know it isn't. I know it can be really ruthless at times.
Oh, yes.
But how did you get into it? Like, Were you a kid when you got started?
No, actually, I was a teenager. I did play soccer when I was a kid. I remember playing only one match, and this was back when I knew my father. I played indoors. I think I was maybe 5 or 6.
Okay.
I remember getting yelled at because I wasn't doing the right thing, and I never played soccer ever again.
From your coach or your dad?
From my father.
Okay.
But the way I got big into watching and following soccer was in 2006, when the World Cup was actually hosted in Germany. My mom was watching it on TV because her dad, my grandpa, is a diehard Germany fan because he's straight from Germany.
Yeah.
And so she was watching it, and I ended up watching it with her, and I noticed how good Germany was actually performing. And I just kind of got enthralled with it, and I got caught up in the hype. And then 2 years after that, 2008, the Euro Cup, same thing, so on and so forth, 2010, all the way up until now. And since then, I've not only followed the national teams, but I've also found different clubs that I follow on a club level as well.
Nice. And you said Germany was out pretty early in the actual thing. Do you still follow it after that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you still enjoy watching the games?
I've watched as many matches as I could. There was actually one standout game that was so dramatic and so well played by both teams that I was literally on the edge of my seat. I forgot that I wasn't a fan of either team. That's how good it was. But it was Russia versus Croatia. And the World Cup this year is actually hosted in Russia, so the crowd was behind them. And Croatia scored first, and then just near the end, Russia scored again. And I remember the commentator, he screamed and he said, "Russia will not die." And just, it was so energetic and dramatic because this was the point where you either win or you go home. And Russia, again, being a surprise underdog, the only reason they were there is because they're the host country. They're the lowest ranked team, but they got very far. And just injuries and a team like Croatia used up all their substitutions, so they couldn't send any new players out on the pitch. And then their goalkeeper got injured, and it went down to penalty kicks. And it was excellent, excellent.
Do you like that? Like, if you're hosting it, you automatically get in.
I do like that because,
like, I understand why it happens, but doesn't it seem like, you know, when an unpopular kid has a party and we have to let him play the games because it's his house?
I like it because it gives countries that would never make it to the World Cup normally a chance to participate. And
that's fair.
As much as I don't like the Russian team, like I said, they were surprised because they managed to make it very far. And I like the fact that tomorrow's final features an underdog, which is Croatia, against France, because it gets kind of repetitive thinking, oh, who of the superpowers is going to win? Whereas Croatia, who's never won, has a chance.
Yeah, that's cool. I could see myself following soccer because I know my laundromat started playing some. They put TVs in my laundromat and the lady keeps sneaking on the soccer games. And I was thinking, boy, they're hot. I could get behind this. They don't wear much padding and stuff. So it's like I was like lusting out. Yes, I'm shallow. I've never said I wasn't.
Yeah,
but
I wonder why.
But I like them because it's like soccer guys with soccer bodies, they're more average looking. Like,
they're
not average
thin.
Looking, but they're...
They're very thin. They're not very muscular.
Right, and it's a more natural muscle that they have compared to what we will be talking about in a few minutes when we change sports in a bit. But now you get all decked out now. Like, this year you went, like, whole hog.
Yeah, so in 2014, we actually... Germany won the World Cup. And to this day, that's still one of the best days of my life because I always rooted for them, and they've always come third or second. They would never make it. And when they actually won, I lost my mind. I was so happy, and me and the rest of the German population here in Hamilton, we went riding around in our cars, honking at each other, waving flags. So I had high hopes for Germany this World Cup. Obviously, it ended in disappointment, but up until then, I had the flag on the front of my hood. I had the flags flying on the side of the car. I now have a bumper sticker that says Deutschland on it.
Uber alles?
No, not Uber alles, just Deutschland. I did go all out. I have my own jersey.
Nice.
I customized it. It's got my name on it, things like that. So, if anything, I'm glad, kind of, in a way, that they lost because I just spent a lot of money on that jersey. And if they had a one, I would have to buy a new jersey with the fifth star. So I'm kind of glad they didn't win.
So you can bring this one out in 4 years, or whenever you're, you know, you go to Oktoberfest at the Germania Club.
That's right.
You can wear it. Well, that's good. So anyhow, I just wanted to talk to you about it, even though I apparently waited till it was all finished. But at this moment, it isn't. So you still have one day. Will you be up watching it tomorrow?
I will be watching it because I'll be interested to know who wins. And I am hoping that Croatia actually does beat France because, like I said, it would be nice to see a team that's never won it before.
Yeah,
actually
absolutely.
Win.
That's very cool. Now, another love of yours that we never ever talked about here is wrestling.
Yes.
Now, you don't watch a lot of the newer wrestling, but you do follow it still.
Yep.
But you're more of a fan of the old school type stuff.
Yeah. You would have grown up where Hulkamania and Hulk Hogan, Macho Man,
yes.
Randy Savage.
I got into it more in the 90s, but I was Hulkamania was everywhere. You even if you weren't a wrestling fan, you knew who Roddy Piper was.
Yeah.
You knew who Hulk Hogan was. You know. Even like Andre the Giant, stuff
yeah.
like that, just because it was in your face. You would have loved it because it was so mainstream.
So, actually, yeah. let me correct you on that. I wouldn't have loved it because I don't like 80s wrestling.
Okay.
I just want to make that very clear. But that's the era that you would have been a kid for.
Yes, but I didn't become a big fan until the 90s
right.
when I literally would watch it.
And that's when I grew up into it. So that's actually a period known, if you're following the WWF at the time, which is now WWE, it's actually a period known as the Attitude Era. It started roughly in 1997. It's arguable when it actually started, but I solidify it as 97, where it became more edgy and racy and things like that. And it started again to gain mainstream attention from around 1998 to 2001, basically. That's when I grew up and fell in love with it, because I, like you, watched it weekly basis, Raw is War, SmackDown on Thursdays.
Now, you don't watch it regularly. You still follow, like, who's the title holders, I guess.
But, yeah. I,
but why did you give up on it? Like, was there something?
So, gave up on watching it because of a lot of reasons. Back in the day, like, the Attitude Era, as well as the period from, like, 2001 to about 2006, there were some good matches there, some good storylines. It's too watered down in this day and age. I don't like the fact, as well, that there's a term called kayfabe, and that's basically where the nonsense and the storylines, you were supposed to take it as being legit and real. They've basically done away with that, and it takes the magic away of it, to be quite honest. The fact that they mix it so much. They say, oh, kayfabe is dead, but here's The Undertaker. He's a dead guy. You have to believe that he's dead. It doesn't make sense to me. Whereas back in the day, they existed in the fact that here's The Undertaker. He's dead. And here's Goldust, where he's obsessed with the Oscars and loves to dress up instead of, oh, there's Goldust. He's just a dude that paints his face. Like, they've lost the magic. It's watered down. Whereas back in the day, again, where a really vicious bout was going to come up between two guys that hated each other, you knew there was going to be some blood and violence. Now, if somebody gets a busted lip, they have to stop the match and treat the guy. And I think that's a little ridiculous because they're concerned about safety, whereas you see guys in UFC get pummeled, but they don't stop the match when somebody starts to bleed. And that's legit being punched in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as well as I find the problem with modern-day wrestling is they don't know how to make stars. Like back in the day, you had Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair in the 80s. In the 90s, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H. And in the 2000s, you had John Cena. John Cena's still around, but he's moving on.
Yeah.
He's ending his wrestling career. That's very evident. But who's going to take over for him when he's done? Like, WWE just doesn't know how to make stars these days. And that's another problem that I don't really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I stopped watching. I can't remember the time. People might be surprised that I actually really was into it. I remember actually waiting in line to see Shawn Michaels to get his autograph, and my friend was there to see Sonny. And yeah, I was right into it. I used to watch it. But what happened was we'd watch Monday Night Raw, and I noticed that it was starting to get to the point where it was just all smack talk. And then they would finally have a performance, but it would always be these young new wrestlers, And then they'd hype all the stuff that you have to buy for pay-per-view and stuff.
Yeah.
And then very seldom would you get a really good one on Raw, and it was just like all this ridiculous talk, and I was like, you know what, it's not even about the wrestling anymore.
Yeah, you're
and,
right.
Like, I like the smack talk, but when it was more storytelling and just like, I'm gonna get you, but you're not gonna see it tonight. You gotta like rent it and go
see,
to like,
I find,
you know.
I find there's some magic in that because they found ways to, there's two types of character. There's babyface, which is the good guy, and then there's heel, which is the bad guy. And I always found it really clever where they tease a match between a babyface and a heel, but then the heel goes out on not tonight, because then it just gets the crowd hating that person more. Mm-hmm. So I found it clever.
Do you think it's something you would watch again?
I have hopes that one day WWE will again return to mainstream popularity. And there are a lot of problems with the current product. I don't think that that's going to happen for a long time. I think, honestly, as much as I enjoy the brilliance of Vince McMahon, he just doesn't get today's audience as much as he thinks he does. He's the biggest problem with regards to creative direction, as well as holding certain stars back and not letting them become stars.
Is it because he's getting just older or stuff like
he
that?
He says he's not out of touch with the audience, but there's no way that an 80-year-old knows how a 30-year-old audience will react. Whereas back when he was younger, back when you and I both watched it, even in the 80s, he was a young man. He knew what people wanted during those times, and he got it, and he nailed it. But nowadays, it's just impossible. And I think until he's out of the picture, which he says until he dies is not going to happen, that it will not progress any further, because it's just too
hard. Does he have relatives that will take it over when he's
dead? He does. So his daughter, Stephanie, is married to Triple H, and Triple H is probably going to be taking over the company with Stephanie when he goes. He does have a son, Shane McMahon, in the picture, but I don't think he'll be taking over.
Oh, interesting. Now, you've also gotten into collecting a lot of memorabilia. What is your love for this memorabilia now?
Well, like I said, I watch the older stuff, and I try to collect the memorabilia to where I am with the older stuff. So, for example, if I'm watching that stuff in 97, I'll collect stuff for that month in 97 that I'm watching, just so that I basically engross myself in that time period, and I live vicariously, basically, as if it were still live and legit, yeah, as if it were back then. As well as, honestly, when I get my own house and I have rooms, I want to dedicate a room as kind of like my own personal museum to wrestling, like have a wall full of all the magazines, as well as like all the toys, the videos that I have. It's nice. Just everybody has a hobby, and that's my hobby.
Very cool. It's a good hobby. Now, you've only started, like, really wanting to make this even more of a hobby because you've been, like, I love seeing you when we go to, like, Comic-Cons and you just light up when you see magazines or somebody that's doing WWE, WWE, the old F, WWF, and you just light up and you could just spend hours looking through magazines and figuring out which ones you want to buy because you secretly want to buy all of them, but you can't.
Yeah. Like I said, it's my hobby. It makes me happy when I find things that I'm looking for, because it can get quite expensive.
Oh, well, just the sheer amount of wrestlers that you enjoy.
Absolutely.
Like, you know.
And thankfully for me, I only really like WWE. Like, I've seen WCW back in the day, and I never really got into it. This day and age, there's other promotions like New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor, as well as Impact Wrestling. I gave Impact Wrestling a shot during the mid to late 2000s, and they were good for a time, but then they've kind of, again, they've lost their way. So I gave up on the company. So I'm kind of glad that I only like WWE, because my hobby could be a lot more expensive than it already is.
Now, they do local stuff. Now, I remember I came from a generation before WWF really blew up. It became, I remember watching Channel 11 where they used to show like literally low budget, like people, but I loved that they always tried to make it big.
Yeah.
But you could tell it was like a ring and it looked like they had maybe 20 chairs around it and just anybody who wandered in. Do you ever see posters that say, you know, like, we have a wrestling match? I know you drive a lot, because I see them.
I see them.
And I'm always kind of tempted to, like, I'd like to go to one just to see something live. Would that something interest you?
I have seen a couple of independent wrestling shows, and they're interesting. I just don't know who the wrestlers are to really care, to be quite honest. But I'll constantly get people approaching me, like, when I am in malls and whatnot. Because I wear wrestling shirts all the time. I'm even wearing one right now. And people are like, oh, hey, nice wrestling shirt. Did you know that we're having a local show? And they'll hand me a flyer. I'm like, oh, no, I didn't. If I have time, I'll go check it out. Thank you. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it's just, I don't know who these wrestlers are, so I don't know why I should care. I know that sounds harsh.
No, but yeah, but everything you got to start with and stuff like that. But
I
because
prefer...
a couple times I've seen them and they look really cheesy, and I'm like,
oh, they are.
I kind of want to see if Damien wants to go to one of these
they
because
are very
I don't
cheesy.
Think I would just go to them, but now, I kind of have a here's a secret dream of mine. I would love to be like a character, like a manager for one of these low budget things.
I don't have the body type to be a wrestler at all, but I can talk, and I have the charisma to talk. And I think, honestly, that's another lost art of the wrestling industry is managers. Like, you had Bobby the Brain Heenan. You had Mr. Fuji.
Was Miss Elizabeth
She was Macho Man's manager, but she wasn't, like, a heel manager. And the heel managers are honestly wonderful.
They Bobby would go Heenan, out. Am I getting names
yeah,
right?
Bobby
that
the
manager?
Heenan.
Okay, yeah.
He would go out and he would just talk for the wrestler.
And sometimes they'd get into brawls, too, if I recall,
yes,
too.
Yes, and when the babyfaces would get their hands on these heel managers, the crowd would go wild because here they are just talking crap all the time. So I think I would make a fantastic wrestler, a wrestling manager as a heel, because I can talk smack and I can talk, whereas, unfortunately, you have really athletic guys, but to make it in the business, you have to talk on a microphone as well. You have to have charisma, too.
That's like,
you have to.
You
and
know,
if
The
you're
Rock
sitting
and
there
John
talking,
Cena, any of these people, even in ones you don't like, you know.
If you're sitting there talking like this, and I'm going to get you this Sunday, and I'm going to be the champion, like, you're not going to make it. You have to have some charisma. So I think both you and I would be really good.
We should be. Yeah, I could. Apparently, after the success of the Damien and Devlin show, once we get to that point to make it a career, apparently we're going to start a small independent wrestling and recruit people in the southern Ontario area.
Yeah,
so.
Why not?
Well, we should check one out one day.
Well, I
the
mean,
chancier,
I,
the better.
I do like going to Raw and SmackDown when they're in Toronto.
Yeah. And have you been to one? Like
an
actual live one?
I have, and there's nothing like being in the crowd.
Yeah.
I remember, actually, the first time I ever went, we went to a Raw taping in Toronto, and I went with my mom, and she hated this wrestler named Edge, and he's a Canadian, so he usually gets a huge homecoming response,
sure,
even though he's a bad guy. So a heel, and everybody outside of Canada would basically boo the crap out of Edge, but he's coming home to Toronto. And my mom could not stand it. So she makes out a sign that says, Edge, you make me embarrassed to be Canadian. And they didn't really show us on TV, because I watched it after to see if we were there. They didn't really show us on TV, but during commercial breaks, they do special stuff with the crowd. And I remember Justin Roberts, the ring announcer, he comes out and he's like, all right, Toronto, let's see your signs. And they showed it on the big Titantron. And they zoomed in on my mom's. And it said, Edge, you make me embarrassed to be Canadian. In a crowd full of Canadians that's cheering for Edge. And goodness gracious, did I not get life energy from the entire 30,000-plus crowd booing me and my mom. It just was an experience that was nothing
awesome.
Parallel to it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for talking to me about this. I love hearing your passion about certain things and stuff like that. And we should do. We should find one of those local crazies and
we'll see
check it out. Oh, it'd be fun adventure, add it to our goofy stuff we've tried. But anyhow, thank you for coming on, and I really hope this isn't your final time.
No, I think we'll have a Force Awakens in our future.
There you go. Anyhow, thank you for listening, and thank you, Damien, again for being my co-host just being part of my life in general. And thank you for listening, and we will talk to you very, very soon.